Hi, my name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and this is one in a series of podcasts that's specifically targeted at the public sector. The title of this podcast is Budgeting, and particularly looking at and thinking about budgeting in times of financial constraint that we are currently working under in the public sector. So this budgeting seminar is it's not looking at the process of budget construction, how to construct a budget. It is looking at how we might construct our budget in times of financial constraint, though, and having a look at a couple of ideas on budgeting that you might find useful. You might also like to know that we have another podcast in this series called Cost Reduction, and you might want to listen to that one in conjunction with this one. So what are we going to have a look at today? Well, I'm going to have a look at what's budgeting all about. I'm going to have a look at traditional budgeting and how traditional budgets are constructed. And then I'm going to have a look at zero-based budgeting, a zero-based approach, which is useful in times of financial constraint and in times when we're changing the way that we deliver our services. And that might be something that you're thinking about at the moment as you're listening to this podcast right now. And at the end, I'm going to have a look at some other approaches to budgeting other than the traditional incremental budgeting approach. Okay, so first of all, I'd like to talk about the strategic role of the budget, the strategic role of budgeting. Budgets are there to implement the strategy of the organisation. That's why they exist. That's why we prepare them. And often I know myself from having done budgets many, many times in organisations that I've worked for that we lose sight of that when we're preparing the budget. And the budget just becomes about getting the thing done, getting it finished, getting it out there, getting it up to the boss so the boss can have a look at it and probably send it back to us because he's not happy with it or she's not happy with it. But the budget is initially about implementing the strategy of the organisation. And what budgets do for us is they break the strategic plan down into manageable chunks, usually into annual chunks. And we manage through controlling our budget. We manage our strategy through controlling the budget. So we'll have a strategy which will set down our long-term goals. It might be a strategy for 3, 4, 5 years. And it will also set out that how we're going to reach those goals. And then we break those, let's say, 3 years down into 1 year quantitative plans. And that's what our budget is. And the budget gives details of all the resources that we'll need. And it's geared, though, towards reaching that long-term strategic goal that we have for the whole organisations. And as I say, that's the thing that tends to get lost when we prepare our annual budgets. Now, what you may also use as an organisation to make sure that you're on track when you're doing your budget is you might use key performance indicators, KPIs, as they're known, key performance indicators. So KPIs will be used by the managers to monitor whether the organisation is achieving its strategic targets. And the key thing here is that the budget needs to be built around ensuring that these KPIs can be easily monitored and measured. So what might we have as a key performance indicator? Well, a key performance indicator might be the level of overall spending that we're incurring on a particular service. Or it might be the number of services that we're delivering to our user groups. It might therefore be a non-financial measure, a measure that isn't reflected directly in the budget, but where there is a budget consequence. So the more services we deliver, the more the cost will be in the budget. And the budget needs to show the link between the financial spend and the number of services that are delivered. So the budget should be set to ensure that the target KPIs, key performance indicators, are achieved. You might want to think about that when you're doing your budget. You might want to think about what the KPIs are for your organisation. And also, following on from that, how are the KPIs taken account of in the budgeting process? And you might think to yourself, well, they're not. So they should be. Maybe you should think about that. Is your budget written to reflect the need to monitor and meet these key performance indicators? Or is it simply incremental or a cost cutting exercise? And you know what? When you are cutting costs, are you thinking about whether you're still achieving those targets that have been set for the organisation? Because you should be. Okay, so here are some approaches to budgeting. First of all, I'm going to look at the traditional approach, which is the incremental budget, the one that most organisations prepare most of the time. And then going to have a look at zero-based budgets. And zero-based budgets might be something that you might be thinking of or you might want to think of in these times of financial constraint. And then finally, I'm going to have a look at some other approaches, just briefly, just mention them, just highlight them, so that maybe you could go away and have a look at them in a bit more detail, or maybe might be asked to come back by popular demand and present some of these ideas as more detailed podcasts. That's up to you. Okay, so incremental budgets, first of all. Let's have a think about incremental budgets. Very simple. We take last year's figures when we're producing an incremental budget. We had an inflationary rise, or, of course, this year, in times of financial constraint, you might be thinking, well, I'm not going to add a rise at all, or I'm actually going to take an incremental reduction on those figures. And you might be thinking about an incremental reduction across the board on all of your figures, or just some of the ones that you feel could be better controlled. The thing about incremental budgeting, though, of course, is it assumes that what we did last year was okay. Even when you're doing a cost reduction, you're always starting from that base point. You're always starting from the fact that last year this is what we achieved, and you either go up on it, as in normal times, or in times of budgetary control, you might go down on it. But it's still taking last year's outcome as your start point, and therefore giving last year's outcome some sort of validity. And maybe we ought to think a bit more detail about last year's outcome and whether it was really the right outcome. That might involve us stepping back a little bit from our budgeting process. Anyway, once you've got your budget prepared, if you've prepared it on an incremental basis, you then get on with implementing the budget and carrying out your activities. You then receive your results, your actual performance figures for each month of the year, starting in April. And then you compare April to your budget and you look at the differences. And there's two types of differences you get on a budget once you've compared it, once you've worked out what all your variances are. There are variances that are acceptable, or maybe uncontrollable. Those would be variances where maybe things have changed, maybe conditions and assumptions have changed since you prepared your budget. So let's say, for example, let's say they put the national minimum wage up over and above what you'd budgeted for. You'll get a variance, and you'll get that variance every single month if you're employing people who are on that national minimum wage. There's no point investigating that variance every month. So that's an uncontrollable variance. You wouldn't do anything about that. You just have to accept it. And then there's the unacceptable or controllable variances. Perhaps we've had issues where we've had to employ extra members of staff to cover perhaps for sickness that we hadn't originally budgeted for. And maybe that's something that we feel that through better management, through better allocation of staff and resources internally, that we can do something about. That's an area where we would take control action. As I say, that's traditional budgeting, and that's assuming that what you did last year was okay, creating a budget based on that and then monitoring the variances as I've just described. I suppose the other end of the scale to that then is the second thing we're going to look at, which is zero-based budgets. And you may have heard of this technique many, 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 many years ago in the dim, distant past. I'm going to revisit it today. It's a very old idea, first used as far back as 1969 and introduced by Texas Instruments. And it's an idea that hasn't, I would think, had widespread usage through industry and through the public sector, but it's an idea that innovative companies have started to use, and it may be something that you might want to investigate using. What happens in zero-based budgeting is that all of your activities are re-evaluated every time a new budget is prepared. So each new budget period, let's say each year, you're re-evaluating the activities that you're undertaking. So each potential activity, obviously each activity will lead to a cost, each activity is assessed from scratch every year, or from a zero base, we could say, every year. And we ask these questions. We ask the question, should the activity be performed at all? First. And then, if it is performed, at what level? And then, could we do it better in some way? And lastly, how much will each activity cost? Now, there is a lot of language and terminology associated with zero-based budgeting, and I don't want you to be put off by that, because actually the process can be used very simply and very creatively. One of the key phrases they use in the zero-based budgeting approach is the idea of a decision package. You will create a decision package for each of your activities that you carry out. So how would that look in reality? Well, let's say you were just looking at something simple like premises costs, like running a building. So what's the first thing? What's the entry point to every building? It's usually the receptionist. And what are the jobs? What are the activities that the receptionist carries out? or what are the activities that are carried out in the building to get access to the building? Well, answering the phone is an activity. And we could create a range of decision packages for the activity of answering the phone. What do I mean by that? Well, we could have a couple of receptionists who answer the phone. That would have its own associated costs. Or we could use an automated switchboard. That would be another series of costs, another decision package that we could create. They're alternatives to each other. And if we have an automated switchboard, what would be the costs associated with that? And what would be the increase or decrease in the level of service? And would we be happy with that increase or decrease in the level of service? It may actually be that using an automated approach is more expensive than using a couple of receptionists, or it may be that it's cheaper. But there'll be two alternative decision packages to achieve that same activity. Once you've got all of your decision packages, you can rank them. You can rank them in order of cost, you can rank them in order of benefit. And it may be that on that last example, we find that actually using a general switchboard with a couple of receptionists is more expensive than using an automated switchboard. And we also look at the benefits gained and lost from doing the activity in those two different ways. And then we've got a decision. We can either decide to maybe stick with where we are with the two receptionists or to move to the automated switchboard. Yeah? And that will help us to reduce costs. So the steps to carrying out zero-based budgeting are, first of all, to identify the decision units that we have. The decision units like, how do we answer the switchboard? How do we answer the telephone? Identify all of the decision packages. So I just gave you two decision packages there, either using the receptionist or using the automated switchboard, and then rank those decision packages in order of preference. And lastly, establish the funding available that we have, the funding available, so that we can then see how much money we've got available and whether we're going to pay for the two receptionists or whether we're going to pay for the automated switchboard. And of course, using the switchboard will just be one of the things that we can do with our money in running our premises. So in running our premises, there will be all sorts of other activities that we have, some of them which will be unavoidable, like paying the rent, but some of them which will be avoidable or which can be carried out at different levels. And so, for example, we might think that using the switchboard, having a switchboard available, is preferable to having a cleaning service available for the building. Perhaps not, but maybe we might make that decision. Or is having cleaning more important than having a switchboard? Maybe we might think that having cleaning is more important, actually. So we would then spend our money on cleaning first, and we would decide what type of cleaning we would want, what decision package for cleaning we would want. And then once we were happy with our cleaning, we could then move on to the reception and decide what decision package we would want for the reception. So that's how it works. Now, modern organisations have started using these principles to help them reduce costs, to help them manage costs. And the way they do it is basically they get the budget holders to look at their departments. That's the first step. And then they get the budget holders to list all of the activities and all of the resource implications, including, of course, costs, the key resource implications, but also people and any other resources that are used. So to list all those activities and the resource implications and to cost them all out. And then get them to rank the activities in order of importance. So if you had limited money, which activities would you do first with your first bit of money? And then which activities would you do second? And then which activities would you do third? And so on. And with this prioritized list of activities, then that allows you to look at the activities that you value least. And so if you've got limited funds, then you stop doing those activities. We can then build our budget on the basis of the list of key activities that we need to carry out. It may be that this year, to run our premises, we've only got £500,000. Last year, we had £600,000. So £100,000 worth of cost has got to go. Where's that £100,000 of cost going to come from? Well, if we've got our budget holder for the premises to list out all of the activities that are performed in running the premises in a prioritised order, then we can go through that list, seeing how much each activity will cost from top to bottom. And then once we get to our £500,000, that's it. The activities below that level will need to be stopped. And that's how the zero-based budget approach, or this version of the zero-based budget approach, can help us to manage our costs. So zero-based budgeting is a comprehensive and challenging tool. It can be quite time-consuming and costly. It's certainly more time-consuming than doing an incremental budget. It does encourage more participation and more thought by managers about what they're doing and why they're doing it and how they're doing it. So it's not only a good method for managing your costs, but it also gets managers to think about what they're doing more. It can ultimately lead to large cost savings if it's used correctly. But you do need to give it time. It's not something you can do 3 weeks before the budget is due to be finished. For the last bit of this budgeting podcast, I'm going to have a look at some other methods to preparing a budget other than incremental budgeting and zero-based budgeting. I've got three ideas. I've got rolling budgets, first of all. That's rolling budgets. I've got flexible budgets that are flexible. And then lastly, I've got flexed budgets. So notice the subtle change in ending there. Flexible first and then flexed budgets. What are those approaches about? So we're going to start with a rolling budget. Now, a rolling budget is an unusual idea. A rolling budget is the idea that you've constantly got a 12-month budget in front of you. So let's say, for example, you start your budget period in April 2011. So you've got a budget that runs from April 2011 to March 2012. So you get to the end of April 2011. So you're at the 1st of May, let's say. You've completed April and you've got a set of management accounts in preparation. Hopefully they'll be sent to the budget holders a couple of days after the month end. That's some hope, but they might be. So let's say that you're just preparing those management accounts. You're going to get them out to the budget holders. You've now only got an 11-month budget. Yeah? So now your budget period, your future has reduced to only being 11 months because you've now got a budget that lasts from the 1st of May through to the 31st of March 2012. So what you'd do if you were having a rolling budget is you would then add an extra month to the end of your budget. So you would add a budget month for April 2012. So you've now, again, got a 12-month budget to look at. So it's giving you a more long-term view. You see, in traditional budgeting and traditional budget control, by the time we get to the end of September, we've only got 6 months of future left to look at. We've only got 6 months of budget left. We've got from the 1st of October through to the 31st of March. In this approach, in the rolling budgets approach, we've always got a 12-month budget. Of course, the downside of that is that we're constantly doing budgeting. It means that at the end of every month, as well as doing our management accounts, we've also got to think about the budget again, think about adding an extra period on. But it does give us this longer-term view of the organisation, and we don't suffer from that thing that I'm sure we've all seen where we're getting towards the end of the year, it's January or February, and we become extremely focused on bringing the year in, making sure that we meet the year's budget, and we stop looking to the future. We stop looking to the following year. So that's rolling budgets. Next, I've got the idea of flexible budgets. Now, we live in times of uncertainty, don't we? Yeah. We don't know what's going to happen next, but I suppose we do know that our spending is perhaps going to be constrained. A flexible budget is where we prepare a number of different budgets for different scenarios that might happen in our budget period. So we might, for example, prepare a best case budget. What would happen if everything went absolutely perfectly to plan? A worst case budget, the opposite end of the scale, where everything went terribly and completely against our plan, and then sort of a middle of the road budget as well. So where we had three budgets in front of us. And the advantage of that is that as the year starts to unfold, we will know perhaps within the first month or the first couple of months, which of the three scenarios is actually going to take place. And we can then use the appropriate budget to monitor our progress. If we just have one fixed budget, as we do normally, then once conditions start to unroll and we find that actually what we'd budgeted for wasn't what's actually happening, then our original budget loses or can lose credibility to a certain extent. So the flexible budget is great if you're living in times of great uncertainty. And, you know, once that uncertainty starts to reveal itself during the year, you can then hook into the budget that is the appropriate one for the particular year or for the particular conditions. The problem with flexible budgets, of course, is that the budget can lose credibility. You know, you've got three different budgets, even in my simple example. You've got a best case, a worst case, and a sort of middle of the road case budget. Which one is the one that you're supposed to be looking at when you start the new year on the 1st of April? Nobody knows. Nobody knows for perhaps the first month which one they're supposed to be looking at and comparing themselves against. And also, you don't just need to have three budgets for when you've got flexible budgets. You might end up with five budgets, six budgets, 10 budgets. Yeah. And so, again, the idea of budgeting loses credibility to a certain extent. You don't know which one that you're going to be looking at. So flexible budgets is an idea that you could use. I know a lot of businesses, when they new start businesses, start off with more than one budget, because as a new start business, you just don't know what's going to happen. Whether it would be appropriate for your organization or not, you'd have to have a think about. But that's what flexible budgets are. Our last topic is flexed budgets. Flexed budgets is a well-known management accounting idea. A flexed budget is where you change your budget to base it on the actual level of output that has happened to you during the year. So, for example, you might be working, let's say, in the NHS, and you had prepared a budget based upon your department carrying out 100,000 procedures on patients. By the time you get to the middle of April, it's become quite clear that the number of procedures you'll be able to carry out during the year, for reasons beyond your control, is only going to be 95,000 procedures. If you stick with the original budget, you are going to have variances all the way through. And in fact, if you're doing less procedures, your cost variances will look positive. But that would be giving you a false view. Because, of course, if you're doing less procedures, you'd be expecting to spend less money anyway. What we would really like to know to give us really great control is, based on us only doing 95,000 procedures now, what should our costs look like? So what we do with a flexed budget is we change the budget. We rebase it on the basis of our outputs only being 95,000 procedures. And we change all of the costs to reflect doing just 95,000 procedures. And then we've got a much better budget to compare back against our actual results. Again, on this one, the downside is that if we keep flexing our budget, then the original budget and the process of budgeting can lose credibility to a certain extent. But it's an idea. It's another tool in your armory. It's something else you can use to help manage your budgets during the year. Okay, that's brought me to the end of this podcast. So we've had a look at the very important idea that budgets are a way of implementing strategy, and the fact that we do tend to lose sight of that the budgets are there to make sure that the strategy for the organisation actually happens. We had a quick look at traditional budgeting and the idea of incremental budgeting and the downside of incremental budgeting, that it does tend to assume that last year was okay, or no problems with last year. We then had a look at zero-based budgeting, a innovative way of preparing a budget, but one which is quite time-consuming and needs to be thought about well in advance of actually preparing the budget. And then I've had a look at some other approaches to budgeting, some other ideas that you may want to use. Remember, if you do use these ideas, you don't have to use them dogmatically throughout the whole organisation. There may be parts of your organisation where some of these ideas would work for you and help you to produce better budgets and better control of your organisation. My name is Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. Thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.